So right now down the hall, our young people are engaged in Sunday school type work. There are videos, there are science experiments, there are art projects. It's quite fascinating. You should totally check it out sometime. When I was growing up, Sunday school was enjoyable, but it was a bit more pedantic and predictable. We'd arrive in the room, and there on the table, for the exact number of students they expected, were the Cokesbury Sunday School pamphlets. Little two-page kind of a thing. You'd open up and you'd look inside, and it was very predictable what would be there. Once you got into third grade, this meant every week while we were getting settled in, you would do a word jumble or a word search or some sort of fill in the blank while everyone got settled in. And then you'd begin a series of very specific things moving through the pamphlet every Sunday. During class, one of the pieces that you'd arrive to that was the main focus of the session was a way of experiencing the scripture of the day. Most often it was written out as reader one, reader two, reader three, and you'd sort of look around the table and be like, oh, one, two, three, okay, I guess I'm reading that, and you knew what you were doing. At least once a month, the felt board would get pulled out, and little papal figures with fuzzy backings would make their way across this little board, showing you the story. Usually it was just paper people, a rock, a palm tree, and a donkey. But sometimes they'd make it very exciting by adding a soundtrack. Yes, somewhere in this paper handbook was a punch-out pseudo-vinyl little record that they'd put on that played about once before it totally got torn up. But there, the music would, you'd watch them slowly travel across the felt board. And then, I don't know, once a month, maybe at the most, every so often, there was a play. Instead of reader one, reader two, the parts were lined out. You'd be directed in how to enact the scripture of the day. There were stage directions. There were sound effects cues, which honestly was just a very Monty Python style horse sound effect. But it told you how to act out the scripture, and we'd all, well, some of us very excitedly, others begrudgingly, participate in the performance of said scripture. I'll let you guess who was excited in the room to do such things. And it was on one of those performance-based Sundays that I first encountered the story of Daniel in chapter 3. So this is the book of Daniel in our Hebrew Bible, and it's the story in the third chapter of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or, as the Sunday school booklet called it to try to entice all of the fifth graders, three friends in a furnace. Ooh. This was intriguing, was it not? And here's how the story began. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue. It was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide, and he set it up in the Dura Valley in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar then ordered the chief administrators, the ministers, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the provincial officials to assemble and come to the dedication of the statue that he had set up. So the chief administrators, the ministers, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the statue that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood in front of the statue he had set up for himself as the herald proclaimed loudly, "Peoples, nations, languages, this is what you must do. When you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the flute, or any kind of instrument, you must bow down and worship the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up for himself. Anyone who will not bow down and worship will be immediately thrown into a furnace of flaming fire." Now, you can all thank me later as you shake my hand on the way out the door for not handing out parts and choosing to have this acted out as a part of the sermon today. The thought crossed my mind. Audience participation usually drives attendance down, so we're avoiding that. However, here we are in the story of Daniel as the king demands that everyone worship, not just him, but at exactly his way. And the punishment for not living life his way is a fiery furnace. As we continue our series on dealing with difficult people, King Nebuchadnezzar will serve well as an example of a biblically difficult person. Because today I want us to consider people who command a room, people who direct their coworkers, who order their family and friends to do things, yet never by being forceful, never by actually demanding anything, but simply by being sensitive or letting their needs dominate everything around them. I have a friend who calls this situation the tyranny of the touchy. These are folks for whom we walk around on eggshells. Oh, don't upset them. It's just not worth it. Now, these are not people with true needs, whether those needs are medical or emotional. There are accommodations we make to care for people in our lives that are highly appropriate. And those aren't the kinds of situations I'm speaking of. No, the tyranny of the touchy is different. Their tyrannical reign is an unspoken edict. We may not have to bow down and worship them, but we do have to give them a little extra attention. We just have to cut them more slack than everyone else. Sometimes we'll just handle issues on our own so they don't have to get involved. And the interesting thing is, many of the folks who live with such sensitivity don't even know it. Because they're so sensitive, no one wants to tell them they're sensitive. They have been protected for so long, their perceived fragility has created a bubble around them so that they don't even know what they're not being exposed to. Others know. Others know what's being kept from them and what's being done to make sure everyone just makes sure things are okay for them. And in keeping with my commitment that every week of the Dealing with Difficult People sermon series will include an invitation to look in the mirror, I must once remind us again, we can be these people. Somehow, in some way, we all are this person at a different point in time. We may not realize it ourselves. And it's also important to recognize that sometimes the touchy is not a single person, but an entire group of people. And on this weekend of celebrating the life and prophetic work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I would be remiss if I didn't at least take a moment to remind us how sensitive people of privilege can be when they're asked to share their status. Something for us to think about. But whether it's a group of people or whether it's us as individuals, what are we to do? How are we to engage and deal with these sensitive people? So let's return to our scripture, where of all things, our plot is moved forward by a group of people who have inserted themselves into someone else's relationship and stirred up trouble, which is actually next week's sermon. At that moment, some Chaldeans came forward, seizing a chance to attack the Jews. So they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king, your majesty. You gave a command that everyone who hears the sound of an instrument should bow down and worship the gold statue, and anyone who wouldn't bow would be thrown into a furnace. Now, there are some Jews, ones you appointed to administer the province of Babylon, specifically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've ignored your command. They don't serve your gods, and they don't worship the gold statue you've set up." So in a violent rage, Nebuchadnezzar ordered everyone to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to him, and they were brought before the king. Okay, so this is the point in our scripture where the tantrum begins. You see, the touchy tyrant has been bothered by someone who isn't doing it his way. He's not going to like this at all. Let's see how it plays out. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I've set up? If you are now ready to do so, bow down and worship the gold statue I have made. But if you won't worship it, you'll be thrown straight into the furnace of flaming fire. Then what god could possibly rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "We do not need to answer your question. If our God, the one we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, your majesty, then let God rescue us. But if God doesn't, know this for certain. We will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up." Hearing this, Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and his face twisted beyond recognition because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, isn't that a beautiful image? It's a phrase you don't find every day in the scriptures. He was so angry, his face twisted beyond recognition. And what has caused this incredible pain for this touchy person? Did someone say something mean about him? Was he publicly disrespected? Did somebody tear down his statue or tell everyone he was wrong? No, nothing of the sort. There are simply three guys who said, "Hey, that's not who we are. That's not the choice we're making, and we're not going to be controlled by your insecurity." Here are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego setting a boundary. We know who we are. We know what we will and won't do. You can carry on and be about your business. That's fine. But the king doesn't know what to do. His touchy tyranny has bent so many people to his will, he doesn't know what it's like to have someone hold a boundary anymore. But these three folks do. It's interesting, Anne Lamott has a beautiful quote that no is a complete sentence. And that's all they've said. No disrespect meant. They've simply said no. And in this moment, the king's anger is not derived from any kind of pain. Honestly, his anger is actually more of surprise than anything else, that anyone would dare say no. And this is our invitation in the wisdom of the scripture. Because honestly, this is all we can do. When we metaphorically hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the zither, the lyre, the harp, or the flute in our daily lives, when those around us might set these expectations that don't fit who we are or our understanding of what we need, when we realize someone's perceived needs are attempting to control us, our best course of action is a polite decline. That won't work for me. I have a different way I'll be handling it. You know what? I'm grateful you're making your choice. This is what I've chosen for me. There are ways we can articulate a polite boundary in a way without name calling. There's no button pushing. There's no attacking. There's no undercutting. There's nothing that would exponentially drive their defensiveness. Just a simple acknowledgement of your own right to exist and your own right to have an opinion and needs of your own. Now, their needs can shape their own behavior. And when it comes to us, others' needs can inspire empathy and voluntary action on our part. Other people's needs can matter, and we can tend to and be present, absolutely. But other people's perceived needs cannot dictate who we are, nor can they mandate what we do. Now, the scripture does continue in a very truth-telling way. In response to them saying no, the king commanded that the furnace be heated to 7 times its normal heat. He told some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of flaming fire. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound, still dressed in all their clothes, and thrown into the furnace of flaming fire. Now the king's command had been so rash, and the furnace was heated to such an extreme that the fire's flame even killed the very men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it. So these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of flaming fire. This is an important part of the story as we use this as a metaphor for our lives, because it would be misleading to invite you to hold a boundary in a difficult relationship and not name that holding boundaries sometimes can get, well, let's say, heated. Touchy tyrant tantrums are real, but we must ask ourselves, would we rather deal with the issue directly or deal with the difficulty indefinitely? For those for whom we walk on eggshells around, they're often walked, many people are walking on eggshells around them. We're often not alone. In fact, in our scripture, it's a whole country. In our lives, it might be the whole family, the whole office, the entire neighborhood. Take your pick. And yet, if everyone allows it without boundary, it will never end. But if someone holds a line, often everyone benefits. For our 3 guys that were willing to stand the heat, and mind you, they did. God sent an angel to be with them, and they stood there alive and walked out of the furnace in a way the king could not have ever anticipated. They were willing to stand the heat. They made it through that difficult moment, and the indefinite difficulty ceased. They weren't the only ones whose lives were changed. Yes, others now wouldn't deal with the same tyranny. But most significantly, it was the touchy tyrant who watched his old self singed away. For the king spoke after they stepped out. I now issue a decree to every people, nation, and language. Whoever disrespects Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego's God will be torn limb from limb and their house made a trash heap, because there is no other God who can rescue like this. So the king made Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prosperous in the province of Babylon. Okay, it's not a perfect story. It's not a perfect metaphor. The king still has some anger issues we might want to tend to. That's a different sermon. But the point is, the place he used to not understand other people's needs suddenly has been opened. The reminder for us is, though we cannot change other people, we can keep other people from trying to change us. And in doing so, those boundaries open up opportunities for reflection and growth that can change everything. That by not bowing before the unreasonable control of those who believe their needs supersedes others, we not only can make it out of the fire alive and well, but we can change the world around us at the same time. Amen.